This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Went into a sports bar yesterday, sat down, ordered a delicious iced tea.
Oh my God, you're back.
Unsweetened.
You are back.
Sat down, was watching 14 TVs roughly within eye shot. Is that a phrase?
Eye shot? I feel like that should be, by the way.
Okay.
Eye line, eyesight,
it's
vision,
like earshot,
field
but
of
eye
vision.
Shot. Yeah.
I like
14 TVs on it. It was 1:05 or whatever. Nats game was just starting.
Yep.
So I pull up Charlie and Dave, first pitch is happening. There was no Nats game on in the sports bar. Got 14 TVs.
Yeah.
I said, hey, can I get the Nats game on? I said, no problem. So they changed the main TV, which was on tennis, to the Nats game.
There we go.
Very quickly. It was awesome. And then it changed back to tennis real quick. And the guy came over with his tail between his legs. He says, sir. I said, yes, sir. He says, somebody's watching the tennis match. He says, I'll put the Nats on for you on the small TV over here. And when the tennis match ends, I'll put the Nats on for you. I said, whatever you got to do, thank you very much. So I got Charlie and Dave on my phone listening to the play-by-play while I'm waiting for this to happen. He puts the Nats on this tiny little TV in the corner. Some silly goose is watching Novak Djokovic.
Are you? Are you watching? You're watching the action at Roland Garros.
Was the good King Richard.
I don't get it, man.
Nobody's fault in the restaurant, other than the person watching the tennis. Like the manager came over, and was like, "Hey, I'm so sorry, we can't put the Nats on. We'll do it as soon as I can." I'm like, yeah, "Everything's fine with you."
As you know, I'm a longtime Washington Post columnist. They got me to write a column a couple years ago. If you remember this, they for whatever reason they decided we should probably have this idiot write something. That's what I wrote about, how bars don't put the Nats on television. It drove me crazy then. It drives me crazy now because that's the last thing they got to worry about. They're like feeding food and drink and putting out the peanuts and getting the appies out and everything else, and they just leave it on ESPN. Whatever's on ESPN, they go sports is on.
There were so many TVs.
Put the Nationals on television.
None were on the Nats, so I fixed that, and then someone said, well, we're watching the tennis match.
We need to watch
Djokovic. Stop watching the tennis match. The Nats is on. The Nats are on. I think I'm looking for the Nats are on.
Nats are on.
5 and 5, brought to you by Wave Soda time. We're going to get to Kyle Schwarber at 6 o'clock in 55 minutes. Wave Soda, by the way, is delicious.
We love it.
It's simple. It's bubbly water. It's got a splash of real juice. Gives you a little jolt of caffeine. It's unsweetened. No sweeteners at all. It's got a really clean finish. Only 2 to 6 grams of sugar and 15 to 25 calories per can. You can order right now at wavesoda.com and get 15% off by entering either of our names as your promo code, Grant or Danny. Let's start with number one. Yesterday, a great day for the Nats rotation. Today already has not been nearly as good with the news, but Joe Ross, for the first time in his career, through 8 shutout innings, and everyone was feeling good at Nats Park as they got a big win.
Ross and Avila in agreement. He's to the belt. 3-2 pitch. Swung on, hit in the air. Center field. Playable for Robles to his right. He's there, and he makes the catch to retire the side. 8 shutout innings for Joe Ross, who gets a standing ovation for the Nationals fans on the first base side as he heads to the Nationals dugout.
News of the day. Joe Ross might have to keep that up. Max Scherzer threw today, was supposed to throw 31 pitches, cut his throwing session short as he's dealing with a groin tweak. He has talked to reporters, said it should be days, not weeks, said he is making progress, but the terminology he used was that it wouldn't be smart to start on Wednesday against the Pirates. So it sounds like he could be going to the IL retroactive, give you an extra roster spot, and then hopefully, you know, sometime early next week, if not this weekend, he's pitching, but no Scherzer Wednesday against the Pirates.
Yeah, but to Joe Ross specifically, he and Fetty, who nice little turn through the rotation for those guys. You need something more out of Lester, but you know, whenever Steven Strasburg comes back is you know, we're waiting on that. And Corbin's got to be better, although he was okay, I guess, his last time. But for Joe Ross specifically, it's not about throwing harder for him. He's a sinker ball guy. Sometimes guys who throw too hard through the sink, you don't get the same kind of run. Then it's just sort of a flat 93, 94 mile an hour fastball. He's not throwing as hard as he was even you know, last year, even a couple of years ago, mixing in the changeup a little bit more, and that slider plays up. It's in the mid-80s where it was as high as 88 last year, for example. But Joe Ross has always had it. He's got that arm talent. He's an athletic guy looking for that repeatable delivery, locating strikes. I think he's capable of putting a nice little run together. He's done it before in his career. They need it now more than ever.
If you combine the ERAs, so you just add up the two earned run averages of Patrick Corbin and Steven Strasburg this year, you get 10.78. The ERAs combined of Joe Ross and Eric Fetty, 7.95
there
or so.
There you go.
How about those two guys?
Yep.
What a godsend that tandem has been for this team, this rotation. And they need more help. I mean, clearly, they're several games under 500. They're 9-plus games out of the wild card. They're 7-plus games out of the division. But they've needed everything they've gotten out of Ross and Fetty. Number two, there is a new superstar in Major League Baseball. And you already know his name because you remember his dad. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is just smashing the ball. Home run number 21 yesterday against Boston. The youngest player to be the first to 20 home runs in a season in the history of baseball at 22 years old.
Now Vladimir Guerrero comes up. He is 2-for-4, a couple of base hits and an RBI back in the fourth. His major league leading 53rd. And he hits the ball hard to right center field. Do you believe it? Guerrero with an opposite field home run is 21st on the season. The seventh home run today for the Blue Jays, and they lead 16-3.
That is a Toronto Sportsnet on the call.
Dan Shulman, by the way.
Yeah.
Great pipes. Miss him on Sunday Night Baseball. He's the best.
Not too shabby to have old Dan Shulman calling your regular season games there. Vlad Guerrero's incredible. He is absolutely incredible. Hammers everything. Looks just like his dad in terms of that, you know, hands up high, violent swing. First player, 22 or younger, since I believe Al Kaline, not bad company, to lead the league through 60-plus games in batting average, home runs, and RBIs. Right now, your triple crown leader in the American League.
Also, nice to just hear that teams are slugging. In that highlight, the Jays had 16 runs and 7 home runs. That's a month for the
there
Nationals
you go.
At this point. Like, that's a really good couple of weeks for this ball club. But Guerrero Jr. is 22. Fernando Tatis Jr. is about the same age. I remember both of their dads playing. That's how you know you're old.
Oh, yeah.
They've combined for 40 home runs this year. Ronald Acuna has 18. Like, there are dudes around the big leagues mashing. Schwarber, who we're having on the show at 6, is up to 12 homers to lead the Nats. Trey Turner's in double digits. Other than that, you know, we're waiting on some sluggers to come around. Juan Soto need more power. Ryan Zimmerman's hitting the ball out of the park a ton for how often he's playing. But it's not the same as having a guy sitting on your lineup with 20.
Be nice. And by the way, it's not Glenn Davis type. It's not 230 with 20. He's hitting 344.
He would win the batting title right now. You heard from Scott Turner just a few minutes ago when we were talking about the tight end position and Logan Thomas. He was on the show late last week, podcastable, Odyssey app, and grantanddanny.com. Really, really good convo with the OC of the Washington football team. He thinks they're going to make more explosive plays this year. And the thing he wants, this is smart, air yards. He wants to throw the ball down the field more often.
Yeah, I think we got an opportunity to get some more explosive plays. And part of that is obviously throwing the ball down the field and going and getting it. You know, we did a great job. I think we were one of the top 10 teams in the league in yards after catch. So that's always going to be a part of what we do. And I think we added some guys that are going to have some yard after catch ability. But yeah, you know, you always look at yourself and you think, hey, where can we be better? And there's no denying that we gotta get some more plays where you know, there's more air yards, the ball travels down the field, and we go and get it.
They have to. They simply need more explosive plays. And, you know, it's nice when you throw a bubble screen and somebody takes it to the house or gets you a 40, 50-yard gain off of something that's designed to get you maybe a first down at best. But second to last, second to last in yards per attempt. That, quite simply, is a product of only being able to throw it short effectively. You remember a couple of the highlights. Remember the Alex Smith throw to Cam Sims down the right sideline to seal a game? I believe it was against Pittsburgh. That just a dime of a throw, one-hand catch by Sims. But that was so highly contested, so in traffic, so little separation. You just need more. You need to open the field more. And that lets the underneath stuff that you want to major in really thrive and survive. DeSean Jackson turned me on to this, basically. Having the threat of that guy and everyone terrified to end up on SportsCenter or NFL Network or have, you know, Rich Eisen yell a catchphrase about how you got toasted or whatever. Now, Michael Irvin make fun of you. Nobody wants that. So everybody's willing to give up stuff in front of them. You need more of that.
Ryan Fitzpatrick has had really good numbers over the years when he's gone down the field, at least in terms of quantity. Now, occasionally the ball gets picked off or is incomplete, but he doesn't mind chucking it down the field. So you get Terry McLaurin open, you can scheme something up for Curtis Samuel on a nine route, or you get a go ball for De'Ami Brown, and Fitzpatrick's going to take his shot. 47 passes in 2019 for 572 yards and 474 air yards, 98 after the catch, on what is considered deep balls from Fitzpatrick 20-plus down the field. So this is a guy that's going to take his shots, very different than what they had last year with Alex Smith, and the personnel's the big thing. That's what I took out of our conversation with Scott Turner about why they didn't do it last year. Partially, they want to throw to the running backs. That's their running game in some ways. He views throwing to McKissick and throwing to Gibson the same as handing it off to them, which I think is smart and new school and a way of viewing the game that's cerebral in 2021. But a lot of that was also just Alex Smith's way of checking down. And so now he wants to try to stretch the field out. I'm on board with it. Let's rock and roll. Number four, let's go to the NBA for a second. The Nets are in trouble. After two games, they're up 2-0, and it looked like they were going to sweep the Bucks. They're going to take them out in five with a gentleman sweep, maybe. Well, they don't have James Harden. Now they've lost Kyrie Irving, and it's Kevin Durant by himself, no super team. Maybe this is like the what you get when you try to go chase a ring or something.
Yeah, this is normal. This is what's supposed to look like, right? It's you and a bunch of misfits.
So it's Durant versus Giannis, and all of a sudden the Bucks supporting cast for Giannis way better than Brooklyn's for Durant. Not that close. Shams Charania of The Athletic is reporting that Kyrie Irving will not be available for Game 5. This was Steve Nash, head coach, in his first year with the Nets, after Game 4 when Kyrie went down.
Kai, x-rays were negative, but we'll have to see how it goes tomorrow and further tests and treatment. We lost a great player during the game, which was tough. You know, we didn't play particularly well. Thought we had a pretty good start. Level dropped a little bit. They got going on some transition breakdowns. They got started getting three balls going and some offensive rebounds, some 50-50s, and got a little separation before the half. And then we struggled in the second half. So, you know, we missed him, obviously, but it was a big adjustment tonight to play without him and James. But, you know, that we've had that type of year, so we got to find a way to figure it out, to look at the tape and get better.
Number one, I love Steve Nash. That's not part of this topic, but just thinking about it. I'm a Steve Nash fan. I'm just reminded of that every time I hear him. This is now about some names that you know, right? Uncle Jeff Green, Blake Griffin. Remember all-NBA caliber player Blake Griffin? Well, now he's kind of a sideshow, a bit of a gimmick for them, an undersized center that's rim running a little bit. Maybe you can run a play or two for him. Guys like Mike James and you know, Bruce Brown, Joe Harris, a guy that's gotten buckets at times in this league. Someone's got to take pressure off Durant. And listen, with great power, great responsibility, the whole axiom, right? Durant is on the Brooklyn Nets. He's now the flag bearer. It's no longer you can defer to Harden, defer to Kyrie Irving to get a bucket when you need it. Durant's a superstar. Now's the time to do it. By the way, him coming back from that Achilles the way that he has been remarkable. Under-talked about as we kind of go through this, what's going on in this league. He has to be sensational to have a chance to beat the Bucks.
I got the Bucks now.
Same.
I have flip-flopped, and I'm not apologizing for it. It's not like I changed my mind as much as I have more information now. They were healthy.
Yeah.
They're not healthy. They're not good enough with just Durant and that group. The Bucks are better. So, with that having been said, Milwaukee moves on. They're going to play Philadelphia. By the way, Game 4 for the Sixers and the Hawks tonight at 7:30 on TNT after our guy Charles Barkley hosts and hangs out on pregame with Ernie Johnson and the crew. Nightcap tonight, Utah Jazz, LA Clippers. Jazz have a chance to go up 3-1. My prediction is Philly beats Atlanta, goes up 3-1. I think the Clippers beat the Jazz in even that series at 2 games apiece.
Clippers are doing what they did the previous round, where they got knocked around a little bit. Now they come back strong. I think they win that game. I really think Atlanta wins this one. I don't have a great feel for that.
Be a long series?
Yeah, I think there's just enough.
Better than Atlanta.
I do too, but I think there's just enough here for Atlanta to make this a lengthy series. This could be stupid famous last words.
Trae Young better pour in 40.
He's got it. Yeah, he's going to get buckets.
This day in sports history, I remember this like it was yesterday. 23 years ago tonight, one of my earliest, but certainly like most vivid, powerful childhood sports memories. Michael Jordan did not push off, just kind of helped Byron Russell to the side, hoists and beats the Utah Jazz. What a moment. 23 years ago tonight, MJ's final incredible finals shot.
Malone is doubled. They swat at it and steal it. Here comes Chicago. 17 seconds. 17 seconds from game 7 or from championship number 6. Jordan open. Chicago with the lead. Timeout Utah. 5.2 seconds left. Michael Jordan running on fumes with 45 points. That may have been, who knows what will unfold in the next several months, but that may have been the last shot Michael Jordan will ever take in the NBA.
It wouldn't be. He'd play for the Wizards a couple times. It was still pretty good, but not the same without his knees and riding the exercise bike a bunch. That sequence is what Jordan was. The improvisation to steal the ball from Karl Malone, a Hall of Famer, the second leading scorer in the history of the game in his own right, a superstar, and everything about the late stage Jordan, right? The craftiness, the move, the sidestep, dealing with Byron Russell, set him up all game for that kind of a step back move before the step back was cool. That was who Jordan was. He was perfect. He was the best. It's an even better moment, honestly, than what now we know is the food poisoning game or the flu game, which was the season before we scored north of 40 points, just gutting through a victory where he could barely sit still just because of how sick he felt. Amazing, man. I can't believe it's been that long ago. I can't believe it.
Nuts.
Remember watching it.
What's the first moment you remember from being a kid watching sports? Like, that to me is I might be able to go back a little bit earlier than that, but in terms of like non-DC team where you might just be making up your own memory,
mm-hmm.
I remember where I'm sitting. I remember what I'm wearing. I could give you the whole vibe that night at my house.
Things that I remember vividly, just top of my head, the fridge scoring a touchdown for the Bears in the Super Bowl instead of Walter Payton, you know, when they won by a billion because they were so much better than everybody else. Sort of non-Redskins, non-DC division, because the Skins had been in the Super Bowl previously to that. There are certainly a couple. I definitely remember some World Series games and some like huge moments. I remember Kent Herbeck taking a guy off of first base and getting an out, and it was such a bogus call that would have never turned by review. But just crazy stuff like that, man. What a moment.
10-year-old me was out shooting hoops in the backyard the next day, trying to hit that same shot like MJ. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Kyle Schwarber in 40 minutes at 6 o'clock. We'll talk about his new leadoff spot in the order. 3 home runs last couple of games. Next, though, Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch, told us on the show last week he's all in on Taylor Heinicke, thinks he's got a higher upside than Ryan Fitzpatrick, and he thinks Washington should be riding the Heinicke bus into town come September. We'll get into that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There will be no fly getting on my Kava Bowl. Not when I got my lid on it. There's one fruit fly left today. Just one. I think largely what you did work, Darius.
Yeah, we lost a lot of them.
We got a lone survivor here, starring Mark Wahlberg.
There's only one of us going to survive, you guys.
He does not want to go away. Michael Phillips is a big Taylor Heinicke guy.
Yes, he is.
We brought him on the show to try to calm him down, to try to talk him out of it, to try to relax, settle down a little bit. Didn't work. So this was Phillips saying that he thinks Heinicke has a higher ceiling than Ryan Fitzpatrick. Part of why he's on the Heinicke train, if you will.
I think when Taylor Heinicke's playing his best football is better than Ryan Fitzpatrick's best football. I think if you could promise me right now 17 games of healthy Taylor Heinicke, that he doesn't get injured this year, I'm all in. I'm driving the bus. I'm honking the horn. We're rolling down the road. I'm rolling with Taylor Heinicke. I understand the question mark. It's a massive question mark. Dude has two NFL starts and two NFL injuries. We can't have this discussion without acknowledging that. And I think Rivera sees that too and doesn't want to commit, you know, a bunch of preseason snaps to a guy that it may not pay off down the line. But I really do believe Taylor Heinicke's very good at football.
He said he's all in. He's driving the bus.
He's driving the bus.
Honking the horn. He said we're going down the road.
Pick him up.
Who else is on that bus? That's what I want to know.
74% of Washington fans.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
We can open up the Gambit DC listener lines at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Because I said to Michael, you know, he's talking this big game for Taylor Heinicke about his ceiling being higher than Fitzpatrick's. You're my boy, Blue. But this dude wasn't in the league the month before he played against the Panthers. He was taking online classes at Old Dominion. Online classes. Not in the league weeks before he became the toast of the town. So we mentioned that to Michael Phillips, and here's what he had to say about that. Not that Heinicke wasn't in the league because he wasn't good enough, but he said there's a reason he wasn't in the league.
Why would you sign a quarterback who's going to get injured on you? That's the one trait in a quarterback that would be an absolute disqualifier unless he's just a complete absolute stud. Like, he has the one disqualifier that would make any team not want to sign him. I think the instincts are good. What's funny is everybody talks about Fitzpatrick as being a high interception, high touchdown guy. I think Heinicke's that too. I think he takes a lot of chances. But man, he can put the ball on a rope. He puts it in the right spots.
What do we think of the idea? Heinicke might have a higher ceiling than Ryan Fitzpatrick. His best better than Fitzpatrick's best for the 2021 Washington football team, something they should consider according to Phillips.
This is it sounds like I'm ripping Michael Phillips. I don't mean to. This is the fallacy of the small sample rearing its head. So if a reliever, and again, I use a lot of baseball analogies, but let's say a reliever comes in and goes 1-2-3, striking out the side, throwing 98 miles an hour. And then somebody goes, well, that guy's got great stuff. Why don't we make him a starter? And instead of one inning, he could throw eight innings. And he could be that much more impactful for us. There's a reason certain guys are pegged in the holes. Yes, I'm aware that Kurt Warner bagged groceries that time. Yes, I'm aware that Rich Gannon bounced around the league for 20 years until he finally found named that Gruden and things started to go well for him. I understand that there are wonderful stories, and that's what they are. They're wonderful stories. In practicality, on this earth where we're affected by gravity, we all got commutes and mortgages and everything else, this is very rare that the league would say, no for a decade, basically, to somebody. And then it turns out that everybody has been wrong every second of every day for almost 10 years. That's what would have to happen for Taylor Heinicke to be as good as Michael Phillips is talking about. You've got a small sample where what he did was amazing. Nothing should ever change how wonderful that story was.
Yeah, I think people sometimes have an issue kind of filing away, separating the amazing performance against Tampa Bay as a thing that happened that was awesome. And in the case of Heinicke, to his credit, it's been two times that he's played and two times he played well. So I think a fan says, well, why can't he keep playing that well? I'll give you a better example. Andrew Stevenson. Andrew Stevenson, first couple games of the year was awesome. Some guy called up, I don't know if you remember this, and was like, why were you guys saying Andrew Stevenson starting is a problem? Well, because Andrew Stevenson's going to get exposed the more and more you play him. Really good defensive player and speed guy off the bench. That's what he should be.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not a starter. So someone watches him get three hits in the first game of the year and bat 300 for 2 days, and they go, told you so. Well, it's a 162-game season, sir. He is a 221 hitter right now with a 584 OPS. Give someone enough time, they're going to become what they are.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what is Taylor Heinicke? Michael Phillips seems to think Taylor Heinicke is really good. I mean, he said that in the cut. He said Taylor Heinicke is good. Play the first one again, would you? And I'll go to the phones in a second. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067.
Play the first cut again.
Gambit DC listener lines. But he says something along the lines that he kind of stops himself and says, Taylor Heinicke is good. Listen to this.
I think when Taylor Heinicke's playing his best football, his best football is better than Ryan Fitzpatrick's best football. I think if you could promise me right now 17 games of healthy Taylor Heinicke, that he doesn't get injured this year, I'm all in. I'm driving the bus. I'm honking the horn. We're rolling down the road. I'm rolling with Taylor Heinicke. I understand the question mark. It's a massive question mark. Dude has two NFL starts and two NFL injuries. We can't have this discussion without acknowledging that. And I think Rivera sees that too and doesn't want to commit, you know, a bunch of preseason snaps to a guy that it may not pay off down the line. But I really do believe Taylor Heinicke's very good at football.
His point is, Heinicke, let me re-say this. The biggest issue for Heinicke will be his health.
His injury, not ability.
I think that's part of the issue. I also think the more he plays, he will get exposed as being an NFL backup. But that seems to be where we disagree. So we want everyone on the record here. We're going to look back at some point, and one or the other is going to have happened. Taylor Heinicke is going to be backing up Ryan Fitzpatrick, or eventually he's going to get his chance. He's going to struggle. Or he's going to get a shot, and he's going to light it up. What side are you going to be on? Are you jumping in the Michael Phillips bus to ride down the highway, beeping the horn, because you're all in on Taylor Heinicke? Let's go to Joshua in Upper Marlboro on G&D. What's up, Josh?
When you guys look back on the record and you look at Josh from Upper Marlboro, let it be known that I was on the front of the freaking Taylor Heinicke train.
Let's go.
And listen, I want to express some disappointment here. I expect this out of you, Danny. You are contractually obligated to not like anything ever. But Grant, every now and then we can get you to dream with us, man. And you got to dream with us on this one.
Pretty
this
good
is
thing.
Possible. This could be real. And I got a couple data points. First, I think you'll both acknowledge that it's very difficult to play a whole playoff game well, right? That was not a half of football. You've got to be pretty decent to do what he did. That didn't just happen. You can't just trip up and play as well as he did. That was very real. And there's some precedent from some guys coming out of nowhere. You know, I mean, it's a little bit extreme, but Tom Brady in that 2001 season, man. I mean, out of nowhere, Bledsoe got injured, and then there's this guy that no one was expecting to be any good. And the last thing I'll say is he's had some time to get better, right? We are all better now at our professions than we were earlier. He's been in the gym. He's been working on different aspects of his game, and he could be a lot better now than when people were evaluating years ago. So let's dream together, baby. Taylor Heinicke, let's go.
You are officially on the train with Michael Phillips. It is a good call. He said, I like to dream occasionally, and he's right.
Uh-huh.
But I'm sample size Paulson before I'm dreamer Paulson.
Oh, sample size Paulson rearing his ugly head here.
Dreamweaver, baby. I'm sample size Paulson first. And what you need to know about sample size Paulson, I don't get fooled by four quarters of sexy football. I don't get fooled by five quarters of you playing well. Let's not pretend like Taylor Heinicke didn't play poorly when he played previously prior to Washington. He got a shot in a game. He started a game in the NFL. People forget this.
Because it was game, a long time ago.
He threw three interceptions. Now, he put up 320 yards because the team played from behind all game long. 57 attempts. But he threw three picks, and it was an ugly performance. I remember talking to Logan Paulson because he happened to be on the Falcons that day, I'm pretty sure, who the Panthers were playing. And I remember him saying, we were like, who is this dude? What is going on? Why is this guy playing? Like, that was kind of the take on the other sideline, watching Taylor Heinicke, a little short on the physical tools and stuff, that day. So I'm not going to be fooled by five quarters. I will leave myself. I always add information. I don't close the book. When he gets back out on the field, I'm going to jot things down. I'm taking notes. I'm scouting. I scouted him against the Bucs. I took some notes against the Panthers. I liked what I saw. I've now gone from not a quarterback who should have a job in the NFL to backup quarterback. I wanted to re-sign him. I wanted to keep him. I'm happy that he's coming off the bench, but he's holding the clipboard. And I can't get behind. Even though I'm not a big Fitzpatrick guy, this idea that maybe he's better than Fitzpatrick, who's over his last two seasons in basically a year's worth of offense, has thrown for 4,300 yards and 27 touchdowns. I have a hard time believing that. By the way, you know who else would? Washington. Because they spent $1 million or whatever on Heinicke and $10 million on Fitzpatrick.
Well, here's the other thing we should remember. The idea we can just sort of discount the injury part of this, we shouldn't. That is such a massive factor for guys being available.
Agreed. I'm just saying it's not the only problem.
No, I agree. Yeah, I know.
Like
I know.
Michael Phillips is saying, if he's healthy, he's going to be really good. Says what? Says the one game he played against the Bucs? 800-636-1067. Are you in on Taylor Heinicke? Are you boarding the Heinicke bus as it barrels down the highway? G&D on the Fan. Schwarber of the Nationals is on the show in 15 minutes at 6 o'clock. Tomorrow, Daryl Green, 3 o'clock on Grant and Danny. Make sure you're listening. We'll also be joined by the gentleman who runs the company that The Athletic worked with to come up with a simulation of the Washington football team picking a team name. And that company, that the guy will represent tomorrow, came up with six names in the end that fit the criteria. We've read them to you. They're not particularly popular, but we want to talk about the process with him, how they got to those names and what the Washington football team is going through. So that'll be interesting at 4:40 tomorrow. And it is also going to be our first Top 5 Tuesday. We've got a bunch of suggestions on Facebook for what we can rank tomorrow. Basically, our listeners, facebook.com/Grant and Danny, are throwing suggestions at us. Could be everything from a candy bar to our favorite athletes growing up.
Indeed.
So some really good ideas from what I was seeing on the Facebook page.
I like it.
Which had been dormant, but is back in the game. So if you want to let us know what you want ranked on Top 5 Tuesday, you got to go to facebook.com/Grant and Danny. Let's go to the phones. Kevin's in Lanham on G&D. Kevin, are you on the Taylor Heinicke train like Michael Phillips, who says his ceiling is higher than Fitzpatrick's?
I am on the let the universe decide train. Just like St. Louis spent all that money to get Trent Green there, Trent Green went down and created Kurt Warner. Just like Matt Flynn threw 50 touchdowns at Green Bay when he came in for Aaron Rodgers, and Seattle had picked him up as a free agent and drafted Russell Wilson. So I'm on the Fitzpatrick train. And if Fitzpatrick gets hurt, then Taylor Heinicke comes in and hopefully does well.
I'm with you, but it sounds like then you're technically on the Fitzpatrick train for now. I mean, I think the people that are advocating for Heinicke are saying he's better, or if you give him a chance, he'll outperform him. And they're saying he should be given the opportunity to split reps at camp. He should get a full shot at this.
Because to be clear, that's not what's happening. Every first team rep is Ryan Fitzpatrick's. They had you know, people said, well, they went and got Kyle Allen last year, so they really like Kyle Allen. They really like Taylor Heinicke. They had both those guys in house, and then they went and got Ryan Fitzpatrick. They went and got Ryan Fitzpatrick for a specific reason: to play, to start, to be their guy. They are not competing. They're not having a competition. They're having a Ryan Fitzpatrick get ready for the season.
The Rams wouldn't have played Kurt Warner if Trent Green didn't get hurt, to his point.
Right.
The Seahawks drafted Russell Wilson in the third round, different than claiming Heinicke and not having to pay him anything. You don't necessarily owe him an opportunity like you do a guy that you draft in the third round. Let's go to Eddie in Centerville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, bud.
Yeah, I'm on the Scott Turner train, if you don't mind. Whoever he plugs in, I think is going to do well, whether it be Fitz or whether it be Taylor or whether it be Kyle Allen. Or maybe, you know, in week 17, they could all be hurt and we have another quarterback situation. So I believe in Scott Turner. I don't think Taylor is that great. I'm with you, Grant. If he was that great, then why do we have him? You know what I mean? Like, he's not.
Right.
I don't think he's a diamond in the rough kind of quarterback. He's just a regular schmegular quarterback that can either play or start or, you know, be sitting at home on Sundays.
Yeah, I don't think he's bad. Thank you, Eddie. Good phone call.
Thanks, Ed.
I'm not saying the guy can't play in the league. He's proven that come off the bench, bring some energy.
Yeah, he belongs on a roster.
Around,
yeah.
Make a throw. He absolutely belongs in the league. But if you're telling me over 17 games in 18 weeks, you think he's going to play top half the league type quarterback, which is what it sounds like Phillips thinks, I just can't get behind that. So we want to know about you guys. Can you? George in Fredericksburg, what do you think?
What's up, boys? Northern Neck's finest, Grant.
My man.
I'm for Heinicke at least getting an opportunity, because why do we simply want to give a career backup who has, yes, in the last 2 years, proven a little something, but he's, at the end of the day, Ryan's a career backup. Why not go with a younger, cheaper option, at least give him an opportunity to prove that he isn't what you guys say he is?
I like that question. And just for the record, if it's Danny Ruye, general manager / team president / Danny Rivera, whatever you want to call me, I don't get into the Ryan Fitzpatrick business. I have no interest in that. I'd rather be 5-11 starting a developmental piece like Heinicke or Allen than I would be 8-8, or I guess 8-9 in this case, trying to pretend that I'm much better than I am with the journeyman. I'm interested in long-term answers at the most important position in sports. I don't do the Band-Aid thing. They decided internally. I get why they do this, by the way, because they don't have an unlimited time. They were like, we ain't taking a step back. That's the only thing we're not going to do. So we'll pay for the veteran to come in with a steady hand. But I'm with you. That's my answer to that.
Yeah, and I don't think Fitz is on the level of a guy that shows up and just gets to start. I think he should have to earn it. It doesn't seem like that's the way that they are playing this, though. Lucas is in Silver Spring on Grant and Danny. What's up, Lucas?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey,
I'm definitely on the Taylor Heinicke train here. I got a little different perspective. I think his biggest problem is he was undrafted. If you're drafted in the first round, top pick, it doesn't matter. You're going to get as many opportunities as you can. I bet you if Alex Smith, if he was an undrafted free agent, he would have been out of the league in 1-2 years. I think he passed the eye test, and I kind of want to see what he's got.
Well, here's what I'll say to that.
I like that point.
Thank you. A big part of my issue with Heinicke is you don't really think all these NFL people were wrong for this many years, right? And that starts with the draft. He got undrafted. He was undrafted, didn't get drafted.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get signed. He wasn't getting any opportunities. So a lot of it is kind of that herd mentality or groupthink that, you're right, at times can lead you to miss out on a Warner or a Brady or whatever. But he's right. I mean, that is a problem, because when I look at Heinicke, I go,
we did this with Cousins.
Yeah, I think
he's a fourth rounder, so people didn't trust it.
In his case, he was drafted in the fourth round. He was at the combine, you know, had a good pro day, whatever. Heinicke was not like that. You got to double your production pre-draft to even get there. This is, you know how hard it is to go undrafted a quarterback if you got a chance to play in this league? Teams are so desperate. Guys get overdrafted by 2 rounds. You didn't get drafted? You had one team come and watch you play, and it was because Scott Turner was intrigued by you and he's with the Vikings? And that's crazy to think about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's true. That is something.
It's a perception thing. I buy that.
Followed him around. That has been an issue and will continue to be an issue. If you guys want to chime in on this, you'll be able to next segment. But we are getting ready for Kyle Schwarber, who's joining us at the top of the hour here on Grant and Danny. Davey Martinez hit him leadoff this weekend. And in two straight games, he hit leadoff home runs. Had three homers in a two-day span over the weekends. We want to talk to him about his power surge. Maybe we can get his thoughts on the pitchers using the sticky in Major League Baseball as well. Schwarb's next on G&D, right here on The Fan. Keep it here to hear from the Nat Slugger.
Both feet on the rubbers, he takes signs from Buster Posey. Now a full windup and a turn and a pitch. Swung on, hit in the air to right center field. It's deep. Yastrzemski back. This ball way back. This ball is gone. Goodbye. Bang! Zoom goes Kyle Schwarber. For the second day in a row, the second time in three games. A game leadoff home run, the seventh of his career. Two rows into section 142, above the 13-foot, 3-inch wall in right center field. It's the Nationals 1 and the Giants nothing.
Grant and Danny on The Fan, welcome back, and thanks much for making the show part of your day. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler have Nationals pregame coming up in a little under 30 minutes. We're taking you up to the Nats broadcast tonight. Speaking of the Nationals, slugger Kyle Schwarber joins us now. He is on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. Kyle, three home runs over the weekend, two in a leadoff capacity to get games started, something you did a lot with the Chicago Cubs. People may not know that. Seemed like you took well to Davey's adjustment in the lineup.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, you know, it's not new, and you know, it's pretty fun when you can go out there, get some instant offense there in that first inning, and you know, I got some really talented guys right behind me, and you know, the obviously the object there is when you're at the leadoff spot, you want to get on base for those guys, but you gotta take into account, you know what, you know it's not going to happen every single time, but you want to go out there, especially on that first inning, and put in that quality at bat to, you know what, one, get on base for those guys, or two, you know, work that pitcher to, you know, see if he's going to leave these guys mistakes behind me.
Feel like you're getting more fastballs if you're up there, more pitches to hit and clobber as you have?
You know what, I mean, I definitely think that pitchers are going to be a little bit more aggressive in the zone just because they're not going to want guys on base when you got Trey Turner, Soto, and, you know, JB or Zim and guys like that behind. So I feel like they're going to be a little bit more aggressive, but, you know, it could be off speed, anything like that in the zone. So, you know, I view myself as a pretty decent fastball hitter. So I just want to be ready for anything in the zone, but you know, we'll see if when more things, you know, if I'm in the lineup, in the leadoff spot a little bit more, see what happens there with pitches.
Kyle Schwarber on Grant and Danny on your flagship home for the Nationals here on 106.7 The Fan. 12 home runs now, leads the team for Schwarber, and he's been batting in the leadoff spot over the last couple of days. Curious if you've ever hit a wall scraper. Like, have you ever hit a home run where you didn't know if it was going to go out or not until you got close to first base?
Yes, there's been plenty of those. There definitely has.
Do you remember any off the top of your head? Maybe they're probably all of the opposite field. Like, have you ever pulled a home run and you didn't know it was
this one?
Leave?
Might not go, said Kyle Schwarber. Never.
Man, you know, opposite field, there's been a couple. I mean, definitely. I know my first walk-off home run. First walk-off home run in the big leagues. It was against the Reds, and I hit it right up in the air in Wrigley, and it went right in the basket. And the whole time, I'm just holding my breath, running the first base. But you know, poolside, I mean, there might have been a couple, just you know, a couple times when the wind was blowing in, things like that. But
I think you're just saying that so you sound like you're not that cocky. I'm not sure that it's happened, and I'm not trying to do a bit. Like, when you hit it, it stays hit, man.
It stays
You're going to have
hit.
Your own row of red seats if you stay here for a couple of years.
You know, I mean, shoot, I heard about the red seats, and you know, I was like, man, you know, I don't really hit a lot of, you know, a lot of balls down the line this and that high. You know, I felt like if they were pulled down the line, they were kind of line drives, and you know, the get one up there, that's pretty cool. You know, the be a part of Nat's history and things like that, and you know, I would love to be here for longer and try to collect some more red seats.
Who's hit the farthest home run you've ever seen hit?
Man, that's a good question. I mean, I think, well, I can say for a fact because it's statistically proven. I mean, Chris Bryant, I know that he got one at like 495. I was kind of mad because that's going to give him an extra 5 feet. But just to make it 500 foot, I mean, he hit it off the top. He hit off like I think it was a 15 or possibly 16. He hit one against the Diamondbacks at Wrigley Field. He hit off the top left part of the scoreboard out there in left center. And I mean, that's a bomb.
That's really imagine. Far. I mean, Bryant's got popped. Don't get me wrong. He hit 40 bombs at San Diego, but 495. That's like. You chop down a tree with a toothpick territory. I didn't know he had that
grown up stuff.
Club in the bag.
Yeah, I was just like, dang, you know, like he hit the dang thing, and you're like, that's gonna go out of the stadium, and you're like, oh no, go a little bit more left, you know, don't hit the scoreboard. Let's see where it really goes, and it hits the scoreboard, and they put the projected distance up. It's like 495. You're like, come on, man, this be cool. Give him the extra 5 feet. Say it's 500 feet. And, you know, not many people get to say they had a 500-foot home run before.
Kyle Schwarber with us here on Grant and Danny. Kyle, offensively, you guys are, you know, I'm sure you're not scoring runs the way that you guys want to on a consistent basis. And I've always been so impressed with big leaguers for, well, A, how good you guys are, but B, the undulations of the fans and emotions and idiot sports talk radio hosts who are living and dying with every pitch. You guys are always just so even-keeled. But how do you avoid the temptation to try to do more? Right, the game doesn't reward extra effort at the plate. You know, you got to try easy. How do you prevent yourselves? Maybe you could speak for you. But, you know, I want to hit a 5-run homer just to get us on the board and give Max a break or whoever. How do you avoid wanting to do extra?
I mean, I think you hit that right on the head. You know, you don't get rewarded for trying harder. You know, in this game, that you got to go out there and just consistently put in the work in the cage and, you know, transfer it out to the game. You know, I mean, I believe that this team has one of the most potent offenses in the league. And you look at our lineup, you look like you have a complete lineup here. You got contact, speed, and power, and on base. And you know, it just hasn't gone the way that you want it to go, but. Yeah, you know, it was funny. I was talking to Josh Harrison and Jordy Mercer and the other day, and we were just sitting around, you know, talking this shooting this stuff, and you know, we were just talking, you know, baseball, and we said, you know what, like, we haven't hit the full stride, but you know, we saw it in spring training. We know spring training, it doesn't matter, but we saw how relentless this lineup can be. And we know that if we just keep going out there on a consistent basis and keep putting in the work and not getting in our heads about the runs being scored or things like that, that it's going to click, and it's going to click soon. And it's going to be a watch out factor. You know, I feel like our pitchers have done a pretty good job here recently of just keeping us in games to go out there and score. And you know what? I feel like we're going to start really taking advantage of that.
Cal, I feel like the game has changed just in the time that since you broke into the big leagues, like 2015. I feel like everybody throws a million. Pitching is nastier than it's ever been. Guys are dotting 100-mile-an-hour cutters back door. I've just never seen anything like this. Forget about the chemistry sets and sticky stuff and whatever. Is that evolution? I mean, how does that change how you guys prepare and you know, kind of have an approach up at the plate?
Yeah, I mean, I think I saw a crazy stat the other day. It was like 96 guys in the big leagues throwing are averaging 96 on their fastball.
Unreal.
I mean, that's pretty crazy. And I mean, I think it speaks to one, just the off season work in terms of, you know, people are you know, bigger, faster, stronger, whatever it is. But you know what, too? It's definitely changing the way that you take at bats. You know what I mean? Just in terms of, you know, this guy's got 96 and he's throwing his 90-mile-an-hour hammer more than he does his 96. And you want to be aggressive in the zone and just trying to bear down in the zone. And when he makes that mistake, you got to, you know, you want to go up there and hit it. You don't want to get the, you know, I'm not, you know, you don't want to give guys credit because when you're in the box, you're the ultimate competitor. But you know, you're trying to avoid getting the two strikes with some of these guys and trying to get them early and putting the ball in play.
Kyle Schwarber on Grant and Danny. I want to squeeze one in real quick. Danny brought this up. Whatever you're comfortable saying. I mean, a lot of people feel like it's robbing a bank, and it's probably more like speeding at this point with pitchers using sticky stuff. But sluggers all over the sport are weighing in on this. Some have said they don't mind, like Pete Alonso. Others are saying you got to do something. Baseball is sending out some memo in the next few days where they're going to crack down on this. Just generally in the game, do you think it's something that baseball has to step in on? What's your take on it?
You know, I would say no comment, I guess. You know, I mean, I would definitely say it's back and forth. And there's definitely positives and there's definitely negatives too. So I say whatever the league's going to instate with this these new rules coming out, you know, it is what it is. And guys are going to have to deal with it. But you know, I can see the other side of it too, but you know, you just don't you hate seeing stuff that is out there that's just out of this world in terms of substances that could be used on a baseball, but that improves something drastically. But I can get the other side too, where you know what? It's cold. You know, you want something this extra little feel because you know you don't want balls going at your head, things like that. So it's give and take. But whatever the rules come out, the rules come out.
Could you, as a follow up to that, Kyle? Could you just provide a list of names and offenses, just kind of a full vetted thing? Would you mind doing that real quick?
Is that too far?
Is that too much? Go full Josh Donaldson.
He's got his book too, like Donaldson. He's not putting it out. Hey, before we let you go, if several of you guys in the clubhouse went out to dinner, who is the teammate? It'd be the first one to pick up the tab, and who is the teammate that's like gonna get a phone call right when the bill comes?
Oh man, I would definitely say the guy that's gonna this couple guys will definitely pick it up right away. I mean, I think you got the Lesters, the Zimmermans, and the Corbins and Scherzers.
Who have been paid, basically.
Those guys.
Lester gave everyone in town a beer. Like, he's the most giving guy ever. And then is anyone skipping out on the bill, do you think?
Crazy. You know, I don't think so. You know, I think that, you know, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus because, you know what, I'm not still trying to get to know people, but, you know what, like, we'll just keep that between.
Let's myself. Wait till year two and until you start zinging teammates, I guess. Appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining us, and stay hot and keep digging. You guys got to get back into this thing, string some wins together. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Kyle.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Kyle Schwarber of the Nationals. They're getting ready for the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight. First of three. The aforementioned John Lester on the hill this evening. Patrick Corbin goes tomorrow, and it sounds like Paolo Espino and not Max Scherzer pitching on Wednesday for the 4:05 first pitch. Schwarber, three homers in his weekend series that just came and went against San Francisco, four in his last 15 games, and he's got nine homers in his last 30 games. He's turned it on. He could be a trade chip for them if they don't get their act together.
Yeah.
Which is why I hope, one of many reasons why I hope, they get it together and start winning. We talked about Scherzer possibly being traded. There's a plethora of guys. Pretty much anything that's not bolted down might go at that point. Now, if you're not Soto or Turner or one of the untradeable contracts like Strasburg and Corbin, you know, who knows? But Schwarber, left-handed power off the bench for someone, if they don't turn their season around, would be someone they would probably shop.
Yeah, that'd be a commodity. I mean, the way he's swung the bat here of late can show you. He can get hot and hit right-handers exceptionally well. The splits are there. Maybe a platoon situation. Maybe for, as you said, a contending team bat off the bench or even a starter, again, against right-handed pitching. But this is kind of that time here. You start to figure out who you are through 60, 70, almost 80 games, almost like a halfway. You add in last year, I've got a pretty good idea. But for evaluator purposes, you need to figure out what you want to do. You want to add, you want to subtract, you want to just ride it out like they did in 2018, which is a strategy. Again, I still don't quite understand why they did it that way. They could have added some more in terms of prospects or added some more players to try to win the thing. They did neither and ended up just kind of frittering away a season. But yeah, Schwarber absolutely could be a trip, especially if he keeps hitting the ball to the ballpark.
Interestingly, he's got pretty much the same batting average this year against lefties as righties, but 11 of his 12 home runs come against right-handed pitching, who he obviously faces a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned the sticky stuff. Baseball is reportedly, according to Buster Olney and Ken Rosenthal, going to be sending some type of documentation to every team within the next couple of days. The managers will then meet with the players. It sounds as though what's going to happen, according to a Rosenthal report yesterday, they're going to check starting pitchers two times per start. They're going to check relievers one time during their outing. Now, I hope this is not going to take away from the game and be mid-inning and break up the momentum. I'm guessing coming off the mound after an inning for the starter or going out to the mound during a commercial break for a reliever, either when they get out there before they throw their warm-up pitches or after they're done when they're walking off. But starters will be checked twice, relievers will be checked once, and they're being told, do not use foreign substances. Presumably, they'll be allowed to use the sunscreen that they've always used.
Yeah,
with
rosin, which has been forever, yeah.
But this is the spider tack and the sticky that has gotten out of whack in baseball, and I know you were reading a story about that today.
So this is the SI that I grew up with. This is what Sports Illustrated used to be, right? This is an in-depth report. I mean, I haven't even gotten through the whole thing. I'm reading it basically during every commercial break. Stephanie Apstein and Alex Pruitt wrote it together.
Former DC Caps guy.
Alex Absolutely Pruitt. Right. Absolutely. Yeah, I was gonna zing that. It's about basically this guy, Brian Harkins, who was fired in 2020 because the quiet part became out loud. He's the Angels clubhouse guy who took over and learned from Troy Percival, as the story goes, a former closer, longtime big league reliever.
Did Troy Percival, the godfather of the sticky?
Basically, it was Troy Percival's recipe. So in the story, it chronicles how Percival asks Harkins for a soda. He's a visiting clubhouse manager for Anaheim, or at that time, the Los Angeles Angels. And of course, he complies because that's your job. Get what the guys want. That's what you do.
So
and
this is when Percival was with the Angels?
Yeah. And so he watches, Harkins watches, what do you do with the soda? He dumps the soda out, cuts off the top of it, takes rosin, takes pine tar, and takes what's called a Moda stick. It's that, it's not a spray, but it's basically a version of pine tar. It's named after Manny Moda that guys kind of rub on their bat for extra tack. And it's a sticky thing that helps with batting gloves and wood. And he melts it down like he's doing chemistry, lights the underneath of the can on fire with a lighter and burns it down and gets the stuff that lasts. And then it chronicles in the story how everybody, Garrett Cole, Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, anybody you could think of, relievers, starters, anyone in particular, finds a way somehow, whether through themselves or representatives or teams or otherwise, gets in touch with this guy over the course of the years, and he's the Angels visiting clubhouse attendant. So some people would go, well, why are you helping these other teams? And he goes, well, that's what the visiting clubhouse manager does. You treat my guys, I treat you well, then on the road, you'll treat my guys well. It's right. Just sort of this reciprocity thing. And he's in his mind, he gets fired. So that's where he's coming up with his grievance.
This guy's
here, right?
Irate, and he's challenging Major League Baseball because his point is, you all knew essentially this is going on. Like, teams have hired people to try to put together potions. Teams have hired, like, scientists, essentially. Baseball's been involved in doing this to try to figure this out. He's not the only guy doing this, but he's the guy that got fired.
Yeah, everybody. Adam Wainwright, Andrew Bailey, anybody that's been a name at some point basically is name dropped in the story. And it's not to paint those guys as bad guys. It's, again, to your point, this is just what was going on. This is what was happening. And he's the fall guy for it because whether he got found out or whatever the deal is, but baseball decides something that's been going on for years. Again, Troy Percival in the 90s, I think, is when this starts. They now decide, well, now it's not okay. So this guy, Brian, a.k.a. Bubba Harkins, is sort of the fall guy for it. But it's a really well-researched story, very thorough. Listen, I haven't independently vetted anything. And every comment that's in here, either no comment from players or representatives, or players that, or people that did respond said, no, this is bogus, this isn't a real thing, etc. But, so I'm not casting aspersions on anybody, but it's a thoroughly not vetted, but it's a long story with a bunch of incredible details in there that are jaw-dropping.
Yeah, you had mentioned to me when I walked into the studio earlier, you said something along the lines of, you know, they're talking about somebody with the Nationals contacting them saying Max wants this or Max. And my point is not to defend Max Scherzer. I mean, I would say this about anybody. I would say this about Gerrit Cole. I said it about Trevor Bauer. This is rampant in baseball. To me, this is not like finding out someone is ordering steroids, which is illegal federally, which is a drug that is not allowed in society. This is not that at all. Now, people can say, and I know you've said, this is more impactful on baseball games than that. But 90% plus of pitchers, I've had multiple pitchers, including Sean Kelly publicly on this show, tell me, 90% or so of pitchers are using some kind of substance when they throw. Most hitters want them to, so they went too far. Sean Kelly speculated around half of the pitchers in baseball use some version of whatever you're talking about in this SI story. Like, to me, this is not a, okay, let's go find out who all did this and bring our pitchforks. And this is a, it's never been a problem in that you weren't going to get in trouble. It's not a real rule if you can't get in trouble. So now it is. So now stop doing it. Knock it off. And I think pitchers are going to.
Yeah, and the reason I always compare it to steroids is everybody gets their pantaloons in a bunch about steroids or about HGH or Andro or whatever the thing you want. And my point was, this is more impactful by so many factors, it's not even close. And I don't know why people don't have the same reaction. Whatever reaction to steroids and that kind of cheating is, indirect, that lets you lift more weight and recover your body faster for 10 to 15 more home runs per year, that's 10 to 15 incidents over the course of 162 games, 7 months. This is every pitch that's thrown. And nobody seems to care about this, but they care about steroids. And my point is, whatever your reaction to one is, it should be similar to the other. That's my only point. I don't get my panties in a bunch in any of it. But the part that's germane here to D.C. is the long sort of anecdote and kind of story about, again, a Nationals person reaching out to Harkins, you know, overnight shipping the stuff, allegedly, again, for Max Scherzer.
Yeah, and I think they probably have anecdotes like that on
pitchers. On a number of people they do, yes.
Every single club. Because, again, I think people are going to view this as, oh, my goodness, you robbed a bank. And it's really more like, oh, my goodness, you went 64 and a 55. Pitchers have always used substances. The technology is better now than it used to be. So they, like the ones 20 years ago and 10 years ago, pushed the envelope, and a lot of guys are doing this. So now you're being told to stop, and if you get caught after this and if you get got and you're suspended, you deserve to be. But up until now, that's not been baseball's way. So they're changing that because the balance is out of whack between hitters and pitchers.
That's the way to put it. The balance is out of whack.
Charlie Slose, Dave Jagler, on the call of Nats and the Pirates. Baseball on the Fan tonight. Pregame comes your way in just a few. If you missed Charles Barkley on the show, not one, but two segments.
45 minutes with Charles today.
45 minutes of Charles Barkley available. GrantandDanny.com/audio, the Odyssey app. Thanks for listening. Appreciate you guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.